Well, let me ask you this morning, just to start with, have you ever really experienced the power of forgiveness and just seen how powerful forgiveness is? It really is a powerful thing, but I want you to also think about this, that forgiveness, though powerful, can be complicated. It can be a really complicated process. So several years ago, Ashley and I were headed on a road trip. We were going from home up to East Texas to visit some friends of ours, and I had something that I needed to pick up for work on the far east side of Houston, so it took us on a different route than what we were used to. And unbeknownst to me, that particular route was toll tag only. So I had one of two choices, right? Either go back the way that I normally go and add an hour to our trip, or just to continue heading north and act as if I had a toll tag. So that's what I did. I just start heading north, and I just keep going reader after reader, toll tag after toll tag reader, blowing through these tolls. And that created a problem for me because my wife Ashley is a stickler for the rules, right? She's a rule follower, and at first it was just kind of this sense of concern that she was expressing. And then ultimately that kind of developed into a sense of panic that I was going to be arrested and taken to prison for this, you know? Like, the concern moved to panic. The warning ultimately ended up being absolute silence and not speaking to me. It felt like that toll road must have had a million different tolls, you know? But eventually, the toll road ended, and we stopped for lunch. And I can remember very clearly, we were sitting at a Taco Bueno, sitting in silence, enjoying our tacos. And I had the idea to pull out my iPhone, Googled the Houston Toll Authority, and then talk to them on the phone. And I explained to this nice lady on the phone that I had unintentionally ended up on a toll tag only road and wondered if she could help me settle my debts so that ultimately my wife would speak to me again. She got a really good laugh out of that. She asked me for my license plate and she looked it up and she said, "Oh, Mr. Dane, I do see that you indeed have gone through quite a few tolls without a toll tag this morning." And then, taking pity on me, this nice lady who I never met said, "Mr. Dane, how about I just erase all of those violations and give you a completely clean slate with the Houston Toll Authority?" Yes! What grace, right? What mercy. You know, I'm just basking in all that has been forgiven. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed by her generosity. And Ashley is not the least bit amused. The silence continues, right? I mean, I might have been forgiven by the Houston Toll Authority, but I had not been forgiven by my frustrated wife who had been ignored and disregarded mile after mile after mile after mile. Getting a clean slate with the Toll Authority did not equal a clean slate with my wife. Relationships can be complicated, right? And so is forgiveness. Forgiveness is too. And what I know is just this subject of forgiveness sets off some emotions in some of your hearts. And it also sets off this firestorm of questions in many of your minds. Questions like, will I ever be able to forgive? Will I ever be forgiven? What is forgiveness really? And what is forgiveness not? And the reality is forgiveness is very, very powerful. It's powerful in our faith, right? It's at the center of our Christian faith. It's so powerful and plays this powerful role in our story. And Jesus spoke powerfully about forgiveness in a parable in Matthew 18. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 18 this morning, we'll look at this parable of Jesus. Matthew's in the New Testament portion of your Bible. In fact, it's the first gospel. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that word gospel just means good news. So these books of the Bible contain the good news of Jesus' birth, life, death, and his resurrection. We're going to be in Matthew 18, verse 21. So what's happening here in Matthew 18 is one of Jesus' disciples has asked him, this is one of his closest followers, has asked him about forgiveness. And I want you to see with me Jesus' teaching on this morning, verse 21. Then Peter, that's the disciple or follower of Christ, came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Peter's question is ultimately about the limits or the limitations of forgiveness. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to turn forgiveness into a math problem that can be solved. He suggests the number 7, which 7 is special in Scripture. It's a representation of completeness, and Peter almost certainly knew that. But Peter also knew that in Judaism, or his tradition or background, that it was taught that forgiving someone 3 times is what it took to show a forgiving spirit. So perhaps what Peter thought was, I'll take that number 3, double it, and then add 1, and then I'll have the perfect number of 7, right? Should I forgive 7 times? And then Jesus' response to this tells us so much. He says, Peter, not 7, but 77. I want you to know this morning that 77 is not some magic number. The reality is Jesus didn't want Peter or us to focus on a number at all. What Jesus is indicating is that we're to forgive countless times. Countless times. That Jesus is stressing for his disciples, for his followers, that forgiveness should not have limits. We should be prepared to forgive continually and completely. Not 7 times, but 77 times, if that's what it takes. I want you to write this in your notes. Choose never to live with unforgiveness. If forgiveness is powerful, then I would submit that unforgiveness is also powerful. And essentially what Jesus is saying when he says not 7 times, but 77 times, is he's saying, make this choice to not have unforgiveness in your life. Choose to never live with this in your relationships. Always be a person who wants to forgive, who's motivated to forgive, who's eager to forgive completely and continually. But why is this so important, right? It's central to our faith, and also Jesus is saying, do it completely and continually. I think God commands this for us because in his wisdom, he recognizes what unforgiveness does in the heart of a believer or a follower of Christ. He knows the damage that unforgiveness does to our souls and the ways that it torments us. And so to teach Peter and the other disciples and to teach us today the power of forgiveness, Jesus shares this parable, this true fiction, this imaginary story that communicates very much true realities. That's in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Your translation may say they're 10,000 talents. A talent is just an ancient measurement. He owed him 10,000 bags of gold or 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before the king. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now, there's a couple of important details that I want you to understand in this parable. First, the king of the kingdom is a representation of God, the king of heaven and earth. And this idea of 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold that were owed by the servant to the king, in terms of today's monetary measurements, that 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold would have been billions of dollars. The amount was so great that the servant would never, not ever, be able to pay this back. What Jesus is doing is he's intentionally communicating language that makes this unthinkable. When Jesus' followers heard 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold, that would have weighed heavy on them because they would have understood that this was a debt that a person was absolutely incapable of paying back. So what Jesus is trying to do here is he's making it to where his followers, then and now, have an understanding of forgiveness in perspective. What this does is it explains to us and allows us to see how our personal sin debt to God would be like trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of debt today. We recognize that there is no person on earth that could pay off trillions and trillions of dollars of debt today. And in this first scene of the parable, that's what Jesus is doing, is he's showing us that our debt to God is like that. I called it our sin debt, meaning that this sin that we have in our lives Though it may be against other people, it is ultimately all against a holy God. And this creates this debt or this separation between us and God that is so unthinkably immense and great that we could never possibly pay it off. But I want us to think about that this morning. I want you to ask yourself, is this how I really and truly view my debt to God? Is this how you really and truly view your debt to God? Does this shape the way that you think about sin in your life? Like as you approach sin, you have this recognition that it creates this debt to God that is unthinkably immense. Does this approach the way that you think repentance, this idea of a reorientation of your mind and your heart, turning from a love of sin to a love of Christ, to a love of Savior, right? Exchanging this love of sin for a love of the Savior to where we get to the point that we hate our sin because we recognize the weight of our sin. Does this perspective or this view of debt that you have to God shape the way that you understand grace? Does it leave you really thinking that grace is absolutely amazing? Amazing. And does it shape the way that you worship when you recognize that you had this debt that was unthinkable? I want you to think about it like this, okay? A friend is house-sitting for you while you're on vacation. And when you return home, your friend says, hey, a debt collector called and was trying to collect on an outstanding debt that you have, and so I just went ahead and paid it off. Great. Thanks. How much was the debt? It matters, right? How much was the debt? Well, it was a $20 fine. It was a violation you had for going through some tolls that you shouldn't have gone through. And I just went ahead and took care of that for you. Man, thank you so much. You're such a good friend, right? All right. Different scenario. You get home, your friend tells you that you had this debt that was outstanding and they paid it for you, and you say, well, what was the debt? Well, apparently you missed your mortgage last month, so it was a month worth of mortgage and the late fee, and I just went ahead and took care of that for you. Well, that changes your response. Wow. I mean, that's truly incredible. I don't know what to say. Now imagine that they went unthinkably beyond that. And you find out that they went ahead and paid off your entire mortgage. Your entire mortgage. Now you're probably truly speechless. And with an absence of words, you just cry tears of thanksgiving. Write this in your notes. The greater the debt, the greater the gratitude. What is your perspective on the debt that you owe to God? The greater the debt, the greater the gratitude. That just makes sense, right? $20, thanks, pal. Paid off mortgage. I'm crying tears of joy. Does your response to God reflect an understanding of how huge and how unpayable your debt to him is? It's an important question. What do you think happens when you and I begin to see our debt for what it truly is? What do you think happens when we begin to understand our sinfulness in perspective of God's holiness? See, that's what God is showing us. That's what Jesus is teaching us in this first scene of the parable. He's showing us how great that sin debt is to the King of the kingdom. And he's helping us to understand here the power of the gospel, the power of God's forgiveness. This word gospel means good news. And he wants us to really be able to wrap our mind around how good this good news is. Pastor Tim Keller out of Redeemer Church in New York City says, the gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. More sinful, more flawed in ourselves than we can even understand. And yet, the very same time, we are more loved and more accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. More loved and more accepted than we could ever even hope for. Do you see the bad news and the good news? The bad news is we are more flawed and more sinful than we even understand. And yet the good news is we are more loved and more accepted in Christ than we could even hope or imagine. This is so clear in this parable. The servant had this unthinkable amount of debt, like this heavy weight of debt that he could never be able to pay back. He deserved punishment. In particular, in this story, he deserved the punishment of bondage to slavery. And yet the master canceled his debt completely and let him go. Because God's forgiveness sets you free. That's the picture that Jesus is painting here with his powerful words. The forgiveness of God brings about freedom. And freedom is one of the most important words in the vocabulary of the Christ follower, because God sets us free for the purpose of freedom, that we would be free from shame, that we would be free from our past, that we would be free from our fears, that we would be free to worship in freedom, that we would be free to live out God's purposes, and that we would be free to hope. Understand that this is so much exponentially better than a clean slate from the toll authority. This is the King of heaven and earth letting you go and canceling your debt. And the reality is, until we understand this vertical perspective of relationship with God and have this appropriate perspective of what God has done for us in Christ, we will not yet forgive on the horizontal plane with relationships with other people. Until we understand that forgiveness sets us free, and then God requires us as followers of Christ to turn around and do what he has done for us in Jesus. Look at the rest of the parable, verse 28. But when that servant went out, after being set free by the king, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. It's not a small amount, but it's chump change compared to the billions. He grabbed the other servant and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. What? What in the world is going on here? This guy's just been set free from billions of dollars of debt by the king, and now he's choking and demanding chump change from another servant. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell to his knees, and he begged him, "Be patient with me. Be patient with me. I'll pay back what I owe." This is the exact same language that's used in the first scene of the parable. But the first servant refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, because this is outrageous. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. This morning, do you feel the emotion that is in this story that Jesus is sharing, right? We have this sense of, how dare he? How could he not forgive his brother's debt when he has been forgiven so much by the king? How dare he? Can you imagine how angry Jesus' disciples would have been as eye to eye he's sharing this story with them? How could he not? Verse 32, then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all those debts of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. I want you to focus in on the question that the king asks in verse 33. "Shouldn't you have had mercy on others just as I had on you?" How could he not? And what Jesus is communicating to us is, when we have unforgiveness in our lives and we don't forgive others, we are the unmerciful servant that God is looking at us saying, "How can you not? Shouldn't you have mercy on others in the way that I've had forgiveness for you?" See, initially for this servant, the forgiveness of the king freed him, but then his response of unforgiveness destroys him. Forgiveness sets you free, but unforgiveness will destroy you from the inside out. And that is partly why God commands forgiveness from us as Christ followers in response to his mercy and in response to his grace in our lives. We are to be generous forgivers to others so that we're not destroyed, so that our freedom is not taken away by unforgiveness. It's a command of Scripture, like Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This verse is saying the exact same thing that Jesus is teaching in the parable. Forgive as you have been forgiven. That's the call of God on our life as followers of Christ. Forgive in the same way that you have been forgiven. Be motivated by the gospel of Christ to extend forgiveness in the same way that Jesus has forgiven you. And I want you to see how seriously Jesus takes this command as he concludes this parable in verse 35. He says this, the outcome of the unmerciful servant and his story and his life, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers or sisters from your heart. The command is forgive with sincerity from the depths of your heart in the same way that God has forgiven us. So how do we forgive from the depths of our heart? How do we follow God's example of forgiveness and forgive the same way that God has forgiven us? I think it's really important for some of you this morning to understand what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Because it very well may be that a misunderstanding is what is keeping you captive to unforgiveness. This is what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not saying it didn't matter or I didn't mind. That's not what forgiveness is about. No, I did mind. And it did matter. Because otherwise, there wouldn't be anything to forgive. If it's something that truly didn't matter, then I just need to adjust my attitude a little bit. But because this did matter, I do mind. Because this was important and the offense was real, then it's worth dealing with. Like, don't you think the multi-billion dollar debt of the servant mattered to the king? I do. Of course it did. It says there that the king was motivated to settle accounts. The king cares about debts. The king cares about our unthinkably significant sin debt. The king is righteous and the king is just. He knows that debts must be dealt with, but he chooses to deal with them graciously. But the king knows that it matters. And the king does mind. I want you to see also this morning that forgiveness is not saying that it didn't happen. The idea of forgive and forget is a myth. You can't forgive and forget. You shouldn't forgive and forget. And I want you to look back over the parable and realize the king did not forgive and forget. Yes, it did happen. It absolutely happened, and it's real. But in forgiveness, what we're doing is not choosing to forget about it. We're choosing to set it aside so that it doesn't become this barrier between us in our relationship. Let's not pretend that it didn't happen. That's not helpful and that's not healthy. Instead, let's deal with it. Let's take it head on so that we can grow from it. And rather than it becoming a barrier in our relationship, as we grow in it, it will create intimacy and connection in our relationship. We will have survived and moved beyond and achieved health in regards to this. Let's not let unforgiveness destroy us. Let's let forgiveness free us. Forgiveness is not saying that it didn't matter and that it didn't happen. And maybe that's been a barrier for you. But even more powerfully, I want you to understand what forgiveness is. Forgiving others is about recognizing your own sinfulness before God. This is critical. C.S. Lewis, author and thinker of the 20th century, one of the most powerful Christian thinkers, said, "To be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." Right? Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And I want you to know this, that forgiveness is about recognizing that the God of heaven and earth, the God of all creation, has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And maybe that's part of your problem. You've never come to the point that you recognize the weight of your sin and the reality that your sin is inexcusable before a holy God. To be Christian is to receive forgiveness and let God transfer that weight by setting it aside. When you forgive others, it's so much more than just simply saying, "I forgive you." It's about understanding your own shortcomings and your own sinfulness in light of a holy, holy God. And understanding how truly generous the King is. It's about a transformed and changed life that's been changed by forgiveness. And that change cultivating a heart inside of us and an attitude inside of us that is characterized by grace and by mercy and humility, because when you really recognize the weight of your sin and how it's been completely paid off by a substitutionary Savior, that brings you to a place of humility where you really and truly have a heart that says, "How could I not? How could I not?" Forgiving others is a gift that you give the offender and yourself. Forgiveness is a gift. Yes, it's a gift for the person that has hurt you, but even more powerfully, it is a gift that you give yourself. Because remember, unforgiveness destroys from the inside out. It controls, it makes bitter, it creates anxiety, and it creates separation. And I want you to know that separation that's created by unforgiveness is not just on the horizontal plane between you and the other person. That separation is also on the vertical plane between you and God. When you harbor unforgiveness and bitterness, it creates disconnect between you and God. That's why Jesus commands forgiveness from us. Forgive as you have been forgiven. That's a command. Because unforgiveness in your life will ultimately damage your connection and your intimacy with God. So do yourself a favor and give the gift of forgiveness. Forgive as you have been forgiven and let it go so that you can live and experience freedom. And then lastly, forgiving others is giving up on getting even. I want you to listen to the wisdom of Proverbs 24:29. Do not say, I'll do to them as they have done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did. Do not say that. That's a picture of retribution or revenge. No, forgiveness is this willingness to give up on getting even. It says, I'm not going to keep score. It's this agreement that I'm not going to hold this over your head as we move into the future of our relationship, of our friendship. It means that you work constructively to move beyond what you've experienced and move forward in the relationship, even when you don't feel like it. Maybe that's been something that's kept you from forgiving. I just don't feel like it. I'm not motivated to do it. Listen, God doesn't make some kind of caveat in the command to forgive. Do it when you're ready to forgive. But I want you to understand that this idea of forgiving others not being about retribution or vengeance, there's a difference between that and an elimination of consequences, right? There's a difference. An elimination of consequences is very, very different than a decision and a choice to forego paybacks. Think about it. I may have gotten a clean slate by the toll authority, but I still had to deal with the consequences of an ignored and disregarded wife, sitting there in Taco Bueno in silence. And that may be where you're at today. You may have experienced the freedom of forgiveness from God that absolutely liberates our soul. But you may still have to walk through some of the consequences of your actions. And that's a part of life. And you know what? Ashley and I ultimately did walk through that and work through that. And I did apologize for not respecting her opinion. And that's important because we need to keep short accounts, right? We need to make sure that we don't let unforgiveness have any area of control in our relationships, because our desire is for our relationship to be characterized by the grace of the gospel of our forgiving and merciful King. Forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven us, how could we not? But maybe you're not there yet. And maybe this morning you need to just start with what Pastor Larry Osborne out of North Coast Church in Southern California calls the prayer of permission. Maybe this is where you're at. He says, the prayer of permission is a prayer that I pray when I have no desire or motivation to do what I should do. It's a simple prayer in which I give God permission to change the way that I feel about a person or a situation. I don't ask him to help me forgive because I've probably already done that and gotten nowhere because I didn't want to forgive in the first place. So I back up a step and I ask God to change the way I feel and lead me to a place of forgiveness. And the beauty of this prayer is I face the hardness of my own heart and my resistance and I quit fighting. And maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Is quit fighting because you recognize that unforgiveness is destroying you. To face your own hard-heartedness and quit fighting because you recognize in the life of a person that has been set free from their unthinkable sin debt by a merciful God, there is no room for a hard heart of unforgiveness. Free people should not be in bondage to the sin of unforgiveness. Let's pray. Maybe this morning you want to just pray a prayer of permission and ask the Father to change your heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning you want to pray a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer for forgiveness, because you recognize that God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Or maybe this morning you just simply want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving, because you know that the King of heaven and earth has transformed your life and set you free. Father God, we recognize that our sin debt is unthinkable, that we are unable, absolutely unable to pay that ourselves. And God, that is a weight. That is heavy on our hearts. But even more powerful and even more weighty, we recognize that you did for us in Christ what we could never do for ourselves. And so this morning we celebrate in freedom, free from shame, free from our past, free from our sins, free to live and free to have peace and hope because of what Christ has done in us. We receive your freedom. Help us to walk in it, to live in it, and to be motivated by it. May we forgive others as we've been forgiven. I pray that in our horizontal relationships, that we would be changed and shaped and transformed by the gospel of Christ. God, help us to be forgivers, because we have had so much forgiven in our lives. Father, help us to live in freedom, because it is for freedom that you have set us free. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.